You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Father God, would you make your Son revelation to us and present with us today by the power of your Spirit. Amen. Good evening. I'm Mary Ann McCarty. If we haven't met, I work here as one of the youth pastors, and I'm very excited to see you all. We will be in our Romans text primarily today, so if you want to turn to page 3 in your bulletin. This is a diagnostic word and also one of comfort. I think it's a word of understanding and gives us language for what I feel so deeply. This idea that creation is groaning, waiting for redemption. I don't know what you've experienced lately that reminded you that all of creation has been affected by the curse of sin. It's broken and it's not well. Evil is here. Even at 5 years old, I remember walking on a dried up pond bed behind my house in Mississippi over big cracks in the earth, and I thought, this is not right. There needs to be water here. This world is broken. The earth is crying out. Maybe you're experiencing a body that's not working correctly, disease, unyielding ground, prolonged disappointment, a system of injustice, broken relationships, global food insecurity, death. We certainly know that creation is groaning under the curse of sin, waiting for redemption. In the words of the Queen's song, it's a hard life. In a world that's filled with sorrow, there are people searching for love in every way. Several of Jesus' parables are less than clear or difficult. And I think the parable of the wheat and the weeds in some ways is that. But I also think that what we read there in our gospel text from Matthew 13 reminded me of the reality raised here by Romans. What stood out to me in the parable is the confused and pained experience of the gardener tending his field. The evil and the brokenness was there, and it was messing up his garden. And he could not snap his fingers and change that situation. Maybe you also look around and say, what's going on? It sure is messy living in this. But Jesus' word to that situation is that God is knowingly present and will continue to be. His word is wait, trust God. Trust that God sees every bit of this story and God will answer it finally. God will bring the world to wholeness and he will make things right, just like he's promised since the very beginning. And Romans 8, 12 through 25 reminds us that in this current moment, the Spirit testifies that we are children of God with Christ waiting for redemption of creation. The Spirit testifies that we are children of God with Christ waiting for the redemption of creation. This is a word for our individual reality and relationship with God, and also a word for the cosmic reality. So first, hear the individual word in verses 12 through 17 of our Romans text. Verse 14, we are children of God, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. This is a reality. The Spirit makes us children of God. Not by our own effort do we become God's children. When the Spirit makes us alive as a new creation in Christ, we are God's children. The reality is we are adopted into God's family. Not only is this our identity and we get to just wait on a future cashing in of this title, but it's reality for our connection and relationship with God now. I was recently reading a really good novel with all the plot twists and character development and scene description that I love. And towards the end of the book, you've been following this character that's had a really hard go of it, and you don't know if he's going to make it. And there's a great moment where this great character is a loving father, but he meets his 6-year-old son that he didn't know existed for the first time. So he kneels down and he says, hey, I'm your dad. And it's a beautiful moment, but I reacted a little strongly to that. I thought, I think he probably should have said, I'm your father, because dad feels a little familiar, and they don't have that kind of relationship yet. It didn't sit quite right with me. I thought, could you earn the status of dad after you have that familiar relationship over time, after you've worked to that point? But this was the character of the father. He loved his child in that way, and he desired his child to know that the dad wanted that intimate relationship with his child before it had even started. And so what about using familiarity with God? How does that sit? In verse 15, it says, you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. That's what the Spirit testifies in our hearts is true of our relationship with God. The Spirit has made us alive, alive to belonging, alive to family, alive to intimacy with God. And we can call God Father familiarly as Jesus did. And the Spirit testifies that this is our reality. We are alive with Christ. In verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we also may be glorified with him. We are heirs with Christ, suffering with him to be glorified with him. This is closeness with Christ, united with him in both his suffering and his glory. This is a word, it turns now, a word for our suffering. Because yes, we are children of God, yet we all know that does not exempt us from suffering in the world. It did not exempt Jesus. We are united to him, the one who has suffered all things and experienced every bit of the human condition. And what followed Christ's suffering? Glory. Both here and in verse 17, like we just read, we worship a God who brings suffering to glory, a God who stoops to suffer with us and who is always powerful and faithful to redeem all things to glory. He's with us in all of that. Yet this reality is not just for our personal enjoyment. We're not the only players here or the only kind of creatures God is interested in redeeming to glory. The rupture caused by sin not only separated humanity and God from perfect intimacy, it affected the whole world. This is a cosmic rupture. The Spirit testifies we are children of God with Christ waiting for the redemption of creation. So hear the cosmic word in verses 18 through 25. This is the picture of how suffering is turned to glory. Verse 18, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Whatever the sufferings of this present time, this day, this seemingly unending season, they cannot compare with the greater glory that will be revealed. And you know these sufferings. So you know, if you're like me, sometimes it's hard to imagine a goodness of the same or greater extent. But this gospel is earthy and bodily, and it is good news. We're not the only ones feeling this ache and this longing. Verse 19, the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. There's a lot of eagerness here, the eagerly awaiting with eager anticipation. Lots of anticipation, guys, meaning what's coming? Something really good. We're waiting on this revealing of the children of God. Creation is waiting. You are waiting. We are waiting. You're not alone in awaiting healing. Not only do each of us long for help and rest, so does the created world. We share this experience and we share a hope. Verses 19 and 21 show that our ultimate healing is tied up with the world's. It's not for us to give up on the needs of creation, but to care and work for its healing as children of God while we wait for full redemption. It says the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Creation is waiting on our revealing as redeemed children of God. And what is this glory that it says that we're waiting on? It's freedom. Being set free from bondage to obtain the glory to which we are inheritors. Freedom is our inheritance as children of God. And is that not the antidote to our groaning? We were in bondage to sin and death, but have been made alive to God in Christ. The earth is still bound under the force of sin, but it too will be released to our inheritance of freedom, wholeness, perfect rest, and flourishing. This is the picture of the city of God in Revelation 21 and 22, and told by the prophets Isaiah and Micah and the others. Freedom is coming. Release from pain and suffering is God's mission for us and for the world. There will be no barriers between us and God. And I think this revealing of the children of God relates to the wheat and the weeds again. In Matthew 13, 41, Jesus says, he will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin. The end of the story is a ridding of evil. And I don't know about you, but I need that word of hope. As we groan along with creation, we wait, verse 22. We wait in sure hope. What we're hoping for is real, and it is glory. We know this because we have the first fruits of the Spirit, verse 23. Not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Remember this first word, the individual word. The Spirit testifies with ours that we are children of God, adopted into God's family. Christ has risen from the dead. Christ has broken the curse of death. Christ is the first fruits of the coming redemption of the world, our example and our promise. And we have evidence of this now. You see glimpses of redemption and resurrection all throughout life. And I hope that you're in a season that's full of that, that's full of hope and restoration and new life. The character in the book that I told you about on the next page watches his son. And he's overcome, and the narrator from his perspective says, it was one of those moments, an instant of grace in a crazy, sometimes impossibly dangerous world that changed a man's life. It's good for us to look for these instants of grace. As children of God with an inheritance of freedom in Christ, we've been given a lifetime, a reality, an existence, an eternity of grace in creation longing for redemption. It has begun now. We live in grace as children of God now. Ultimate healing will come to us and to all creation soon. The presence of sin caused a cosmic break or problem, but Jesus Christ is answering it with cosmic healing and freedom. Our freedom will be fully realized, and it's going to be better than we can imagine. So enjoy the hope that the Spirit brings. Revel in it, preach it, remember it. Let yourself be carried and encouraged by it. It isn't right to keep quiet about the resurrection, the fact that God has given this hope to us as a gift, even earned it by his own suffering and death and resurrection. So let's talk about it. Let's live in it, even if it feels like foolishness in the face of society's wisdom. Let us preach this hope to ourselves and to each other and to the watching, wanting world. The next line of that same Queen song I mentioned earlier says, it's a long, hard fight, but I'll always live for tomorrow. I'll look back on myself and say I did it for love. Would we, in love for the world, which comes from our love for God, our belovedness by God, tell of our hope? Would we keep our eyes on tomorrow, the day to come in which God will redeem our bodies and creation through his love, by his son who did it for love. Because of him, we don't have to save ourselves. With him, we have been resurrected to life with God. The resurrection is for us and for our neighbors and for the world. And when we forget or are unsure, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit, with your spirit, that we are, that you are a child of God, beloved completely as you are. So with the Spirit, let us say amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.